Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to the Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 8th. It's 8-8. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I have brought a great, great guest from Team Robot. It's Jen. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm good. You know, I didn't want to come for the birthday dinner, but I'm here for the cake. So, good.
Yeah, you've been skipping all of my birthday dinners. I finally got you around, but that's only because I offered cake. So I feel very undervalued here. So that's unfortunate. Let's talk about everything that happened on the feeds yesterday. We had first Christmas doing like a last minute pitch to Josh that like, hey, you know what? Maybe you should put me up on the block because it's always worth pitching to put yourself up on the block, as Jordan Parhar has told me many times. That's right, Jen, right?
Right. I mean, obviously, it's the best move you can make is, yeah, I want to go on the block because I can make a good speech. Like, what are you doing? Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
I really don't. People are talking about how Raven, like, oh, she's only going up on the block right now because, you know, she feels that she's so safe and she feels like they're good. Like, we're going to owe her. So I legitimately think Christmas in this moment was like, you know what? I want to get in on this. I want people to owe me.
Right.
And she was like, I'm going to have a great speech, but like, what again, I keep talking about this with Christmas. Just like, I don't understand.
I don't get it. I stopped questioning it. I'm like, you know what? You do you. I'll just watch it blow up in your face later. Like, I don't know what else to do about it.
I was really hoping.
Or what else to think about it.
I was really hoping that you'd be my Christmas whisperer. You're already disappointing me, Jen.
Sorry.
Okay. Man, all she wants is cake. She doesn't even have any Christmas presents. All right. Kevin talks with Cody again. Kevin really wanting to make this whole Cody plan work. He feels like they're solid. He feels like Cody, he shook on it. He's not going to go after Paul. He's going to work with this. We're going to use him. It's going to be great. Is this going to be great, Jen?
No, it's not going to be great. I think Kevin had a better chance of just remaining at a friendship sort of level with Cody and just hanging out with him and playing pool with him. And I feel like he'd have more safety and more, like, Cody would trust him more that way than him trying to make a deal with him and slip Paul in there and be like, oh, keep me safe, and Paul, and Alex, and Jason. It's like, what are you doing? I don't know. I just feel like he's making himself look way sketchier than he was previously, where, like, his social game's so strong that he's just...
Yeah, you know...
Rely more on that than try to...
It's kind of funny because this is basically what Cody did in the first week when he went to Alex, who was dead set against, you know, his entire group. And he said to Alex, like, look, let's make a deal. You protect all 8 of these people and then we'll work together until jury and then game on. And it's exactly what Kevin is doing now. He's like, all right, I know that you're dead set against my group, but here's what we'll do. You protect these 4 people and we'll work together till top 7, top 8, whatever. Then it'll be game on. And now Cody being on the receiving end of this deal is like, whoa, no, no, no. I don't like that.
Right. Now that he's tasting his own medicine of what he tried to do, he's like, no, wait, what?
Yeah. It's maybe he's learned from his mistakes. He's like, you know what? This is a bad deal. I know because I offered it myself.
Right.
So Cody talks to Jessica and he, after his talk with Kevin, he's like, Jess, is there a path for me to win here? Should I be trying? And Jess is like, yeah, you never know. And he's like, yeah, but I don't know. It just seems like so much work. I'd rather just, you know, go crazy and take people out. That seems like a better plan. Yeah. Jen, do you like Jess and Cody's game?
I mean, no.
Yeah.
I feel that they aren't that good at it. I mean, of course, they're the underdogs and people want to root for them. But Cody put themselves in week 1 anyway. It's not like everyone came out guns blazing like, oh, we hate Cody. We hate Jess. They had the majority on their side. Cody blindsided the house. and kind of cause this situation. They don't help themselves by not going to Kevin's birthday dinner. They don't help themselves by completely, what was it, the other day, Christmas asked them if they wanted eggs, and after she left, Cody called her a psychopath. I'm like, what? She offered you food, and you're going to call her a psychopath? Like, what? So, no, I'm not a fan of their game at all, and I know a lot of people like them, so sorry, but I don't know. I can't get behind it. I've tried, and I just can't.
Yeah, I think that that's a general consensus. I mean, you know, when Brent and Melissa, who are, you know, obviously the big Jody stans, are saying that they're not playing well and that they're probably playing pretty terribly, I think it's safe to say, all right, this is a safe space to say that they're not doing well. So Paul talks to Kevin about this whole, you know, work with Cody plan. And Paul's just like, what are you talking about? Of course Cody's going to nominate me. I don't understand why you think he wouldn't. And Kevin's like, no. I'm telling you. He's not going to. We shook on it. I told him to say it three times. We said it three times. So we're all good. And Paul's just like, no, he's going to do that. He's, no. Let's make a side bet. Let's do it. Do you understand? What Kevin is doing? Is there at least some part of it that's good, or is this just all bad? Because it seems like it's just really falling flat.
I feel like it is falling flat, but I think it's a decent backup plan. Like if they have to fall on it, maybe. But I don't think that should be Kevin's. Like, okay, this is what we're gonna do for the next 3 weeks. Keep Cody safe. Blah, blah, blah. But if they like can't get him out next week or the week after, maybe Kevin will be able to be like, hey, buddy, we shook on that deal. Like, don't go back on it, maybe, or at least bring some light to it. Not that anyone is left to turn against Cody because everyone's already turned against Cody. I don't know. It's a decent backup plan, I guess. But
yeah, like, I think the idea behind it is somewhat solid, but trying to protect Paul is just...
Right, that's kind of the...
Yeah, there's not like a lot of reason for Kevin to want to protect Paul. You know, Kevin, Paul, I guess, is certainly somebody that is valuable to Kevin, whether or not you, the viewers, like that. But he's not worth throwing your life on the line to protect him. Like, you know, Cody was talking about, like, maybe I'll put up Kevin and Paul now, because why is Kevin trying to protect Paul? That's not where you want to be. So it's an unfortunate situation for Kevin. We have a question from Ree Vander in the chat who asked, will Kevin get Gottfried in a Final Two situation? I know people aren't always a fan of the Big Brother Canada references. Gottfried was a top tier player, but nobody really understood or saw what he was doing in the house and ended up losing in the Final Two. Do we feel like that's going to happen to Kevin?
I think it probably depends on who he's up against, maybe, because if it's someone who the house isn't a big fan of, maybe like Matt, who hasn't really played the game and a lot of people are getting very annoyed with him as of the past couple days. I think maybe Kevin has a chance of winning, but I could see him potentially getting Gottfried if, you know, he gets up there and his speech is a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo about who knows what he'll be talking about. He might not, you know, clearly state his game and his social game and all that stuff. So I could see it happening.
Yeah, you know, and Paul also had a conversation with him later in the day where he continued his campaign for I can't win the game. I'm a vet. Nobody will vote me for me to win. I thought this was particularly well played this time. I thought when he did it with Elena, it kind of fell flat a bit. But with Kevin, it seemed to be pretty effective. It was very Dr. Will-esque. Like, what am I even doing here? It's just like so exhausting sometimes. I'm not even going to win. Like, I guess I just have to stick it in here for the fans. Like, and Kevin was like, yeah, I agree. You're not going to win.
Made me laugh so hard. He's like, yeah, you're right. You're not going to win.
Like, yeah. It was just like such a great Kevin response, right? Like usually it's even if they don't believe, even if they're like, yes, I agree that you can't win, they're like, oh, no, you can win. Like that's how most people would respond. No, Kevin's just like, yeah, you're right. I would probably beat you. Yeah. I don't know if he would, though. I don't know, because without Paul to back Kevin up in terms of like, this is what Kevin was doing. He was actually playing the game. People like Elena have already expressed that they feel like, I don't know, you know, I don't think Kevin's really been doing much. I'd be kind of annoyed if he made it to the end. So I really feel like Kevin has to sort of wake up and be like, I can't beat Paul. Sure you know that you can't beat Paul. You can probably beat somebody like Alex. Mm-hmm. I'd be careful of Jason. Jason has a lot of good relationships, but I think Kevin could beat a fair amount of people, especially with Paul in his corner in the jury. But he needs to make sure Paul is in the jury.
I agree.
Okay, so we finally get to the veto ceremony. Mark uses the veto on himself. Unbelievable. Can you believe the balls on this guy to use the veto?
I can't believe he saved himself. Like, I'm shocked.
Jen, you must be outraged.
I mean, how can they expect someone who won the veto not to save themselves? On top of that, Josh is HOH. So maybe if it was someone, you know, I just don't see any scenario where it's okay to be mad at someone for not using the veto on themselves. But especially with Josh as the HOH, given Mark and Josh's history, Mark has no idea whether or not he's actually the pawn or if he's actually the target. So, I can't.
Yes, well, that's part of it. They're like, well, don't you trust us, Mark? Don't you trust us after we have talked about getting you out for weeks and put you up on the block? Why don't you trust us? Sure. I was banging pots and pans in front of your face. We were yelling at you last week for not yelling at Jess and Cody. Why wouldn't you trust us?
Right.
It's been days since we've yelled at you. What? Unbelievable. Okay, so yeah, Mark uses the veto here, and Raven goes up in his place despite Christmas's best efforts to go up herself. And Raven does, in fact, pretty much immediately go to Josh and be like, yeah, you owe me one.
Right.
I put myself on. Yeah. I'm taking one for the team. You'd better return the favor. And as Brent said, like, she was like, just kidding. But, you know, as we know with Brent, too, he's never kidding. It's never kidding. Yes. Including when he fake made fun of John, he actually doesn't mind. Okay. So Raven, she also makes a claim here. She says, you know, I find it so funny that I turned Cody down in the first week. This is kind of crazy because this came out of nowhere. We talked about it on the roundtable last night, but like, she's claiming that Cody tried to kiss her and that she rejected him. And that then he said, well, that's all right. It wouldn't work out anyway because you can't have children. This seems like the most Raven story that there is, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I read somewhere on Twitter, because like I was listening to it, I wasn't exactly watching it, but apparently like once she said Cody tried to kiss me, she like looked at Matt real quick to see if he like had any reaction, and he just like kept eating or doing whatever he was doing. Like, he did not care at all.
Matt was
that part was funny.
Yeah, Matt was probably he's like eating his cereal. He's like, well, right. At least he didn't try to kiss my cereal.
You know, right. At least he didn't
eat my cereal. Right. Yeah. Or take my shirt, you know.
My three shirts.
Yes. Leslie in the chat says, my favorite part was Raven thinking that Kevin was really upset that she was to replace. They really latched on. They're like, Kevin felt so bad. He was like, oh, why did Mark do that? Kevin didn't care. But he represents what they wanted to happen. And they just like really just projected that onto him, which was pretty funny. So they start getting weird sounds over the speakers here. They, some babies crying, some dogs are barking. We've got like a jackhammer or something. Like, do you have any ideas or theories about what this is?
My guess is maybe a before and after comp for HOH. I guess. I mean, I don't really know. At first, I thought it was like they pressed the wrong button or something. I'm like, why is there a baby crying? Like, what is happening? But then I started hearing more. I was like, okay, I'm not going crazy. But yeah, I don't know. My guess is some sort of memory comp for HOH.
Yes, Whitney in the chat says, sound effects to represent Paul's minions, maybe. They did actually think that, because of like the baby crying and then the dog barking. It very well could have been a comment on the players themselves, which is probably a sad thing to be true. But yeah, it does seem probably more likely that it's going to be some sort of HOH competition. Like what came first, the baby or the dog? You know, like, right. Something like that. They are studying these questions. So
my favorite part was Jason was imitating the dog bark for a solid 15 minutes and it sounded nothing like a dog. And Paul's like, shut up. And he's like, bark, bark. But like, he just kept going. I'm just like, oh my God, I need to switch cams. I can't keep listening to this, but just kept going.
Was he maybe doing the Alex Kidwell? Whoa. So that was my favorite part of the round table. Alex tells Paul finally, hey Paul, look, people are starting to get worried that you are protecting Elena. And Paul goes, people? Who are people? And she says, Christmas is worried that you're protecting Elena. And Paul goes, whoa, now she better back up. Look, all I'm doing damage control. That's all I'm doing. What are you talking about? This is all in, and this is like a typical Paul defense lie, but he's actually telling the truth. Like, right. He really is mostly doing, he really is just mostly doing damage control here. And he really does plan on getting Elena out pretty soon. But Christmas has been exposed here, and it's set Paul off a bit. You know, he wants to take Christmas down to the end because he knows she can't win those final competitions. But I think he's starting to be like, you know what? Maybe there's better goats than somebody going to be talking bad about me. Seemed like a bit of a mistake on Christmas's part. We talked about it earlier in the week, but man, she really got outed there. Is there any way she can turn this around, Jen?
I'm not sure, honestly. I feel like once someone kind of crosses Paul in a way, he doesn't really forget about it. You know, and I know he mentioned also Josh and Raven as two other options to bring with him and Kevin to the end for like final three that he can beat in a competition. So now that she has already talked bad about him and he already kind of replacements for her or people that he can put in her place to bring to the end with him, I don't see her being able to repair that relationship before, you know, she gets taken out by Paul.
Yeah, and I mean, you've talked about how, you know, Cody has said that Christmas is a psychopath. Other people, Paul had been saying, like, she's so erratic. Like, she just, like, the smallest thing will set her off, and then out of nowhere, like, they're starting to see it in the house, what we're seeing outside, and, like, what's making it difficult. Maybe she's got a temper. Maybe that's it. Like, but it doesn't always show. So, like, sometimes she's just mad, and then just plays really bad when she's mad. But then when she's not mad, she's playing well. Like, it's just such a weird situation here with Christmas.
I don't get it.
Yes. So we have Cody talking about how he's going to vote this week. He decides, I'm going to vote out Raven. Not too big of a surprise here, obviously, with Elena having a decent relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, and then we have Kevin's birthday. And just like Jen didn't come to my birthday, Jess and Cody didn't go to Kevin's birthday dinner. All Kevin wanted was to get everyone together, have a nice birthday. He was going to make nicknames for everyone. It was going to be the Dirty Dozen. But instead it had to be the Terrific 10. And they bailed on him. Why would
so sad. Like, what has Kevin ever done to them to where they need to be like, screw Kevin, who cares about his birthday? Like, he's never done anything, and it made me so sad.
Yeah, it's mean, you know. Kevin wants to, he's like, it'll be great, you'll come to my place for Thanksgiving, it'll be good, you'll sleep in my son's room, we've got a pool table, it'll be awesome. But Jess and Cody are just like, nah, we're not interested.
Right, like,
we don't want to have dinner with you.
I mean, maybe it's because Raven cooked the food, you know, I understand that, but like, all he wanted was a birthday dinner. You didn't even have to eat the food. You could just sit, chill, not talk to anyone, just show up. I don't know. It just makes me so sad. And it's a terrible game move. Like Megan said in the chat, like, you're just moving yourself away from everyone else for someone's birthday. Like, it's not even, oh, let's have a family meal for fun. It's someone's birthday and you can't even show up.
Yes, you know, you could at least do like the like what I did when I was a child, just like sit in the corner with like a Game Boy or something, right? Right. Like, or make out, you know, like right. At least be there.
Right.
So we got some more talk from Alex about Kevin, where you know, Alex has been on to Kevin since the whole Hinky Vote stuff. Mm-hmm. And now that he's doing this kind of shady business and Paul's kind of sketched out by him as well, this is resurfacing. Kevin really not doing himself many favors and also just doesn't really see that Alex is suspicious of him and doesn't really see that Paul is now starting to get a little sketched out. Kevin needs to cool his jets. You're doing well. Just don't overplay yourself
right.
into oblivion here.
Right. Just take a few steps back. Just calm down. But.
Focus on birthday dinners.
Right. Focus on making nicknames for everyone. Like, keep doing that.
Just, make sure Jen gets all of her cakes.
Right. Give me all the cake. I'll eat it all.
You don't need to make a deal with Brent to be like, okay, Brent, you make all the cakes for Jen. It'll be great. Everything will work.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so finally, as I mentioned before, we had that talk with Paul and Kevin, where Paul really made it pretty clear that, like, you know, Kevin, I can't win this game. Don't worry about me. Take me to the end. And it seems to be working here.
Yeah.
So let me know if you have any questions in the chat. There wasn't really a whole lot of game-changing stuff that happened yesterday, so we've got a little bit of extra time if you have some questions. We have one from Whitney. Who is Jason more loyal to, Kevin or Alex? And I think this is an interesting question because he has a really good relationship with both of them, but mm-hmm. I do feel personally like he listens to Alex more, and like his response to Kevin's plan with Cody, I feel like, was much more skeptical than he is with Alex, where I think that obedience is showing where his loyalties really truly lie. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like he was very sketched out with the Kevin situation. I think he was upset that he never actually shook on the deal. Like, he was just kind of thrown in there. And with Alex, I feel like he's never really tried to, or never heard him talk bad about Alex behind her back at all. I could be wrong, but I've never heard it. And I've heard him talk about Kevin. So I feel like he is more loyal to Alex.
All right. Yes. We have another question from Starlin on the chat, who asked, what is up with Kevin falling in love with Christmas? This is something that has been sort of developing that I don't think we've really talked about yet. I don't know how serious it is. Some people are like, oh, he's married. What is he doing? You know, people have their own kinds of relationships, and what acceptable behavior is all over the board. And it really depends on the relationship. So I'm not one to quickly judge on that part, but Kevin, he is talking a lot about, like, you know, Christmas and, like, I'm falling in love with her. I asked her if she would marry me, like, you know, Kevin stuff. He was like talking about, like, how is she so beautiful and fit and smart and still single? Like, she must be crazy or something. Like, what's happening here? Did you have any thoughts on Kevin's infatuation with Christmas?
I can't decide if it's like, I feel like it's just a whole bunch of, like, Kevinisms just in these things. Like, I'm sure he thinks she's great and everything, but I don't think it's that deep. I mean, I could be wrong again, but I think it's just Kevin being Kevin, honestly. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I think people are, you know, making a big deal of this when personally I feel like it's just like, especially when you're a lot older, I feel like the older guys, they like to just kind of, like, you know, have fun with it. And I think Christmas has fun with it too. Like, she enjoys her relationship with Kevin. So, I don't know. I don't think there's anything that we need to, be too concerned about here. And you know what? Even if it is like, you know what? He's fallen in love with Christmas. Like, go, you know, that's Kevin's right. Right. We're not the marriage enforcers.
Right. Exactly. You know? Between him and his wife and Christmas. Yeah. Like, it's fine. That's nothing to do with any of us.
Okay. We have one from Martha. Do you think Christmas's meds are affecting her game? I'm pretty sure she's off, like, most of the meds at this point, right? Like, she's not actually on, like, the major opiates still, right? I could be wrong about this.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, so because I'm pretty sure I heard her talking about like they were like, oh, usually the people aren't off their meds by now, but you're like, you know, you're so strong or whatever. So I don't think we can blame the meds anymore. Unless she's like hoarding them and secretly taking them or something. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
We did. Okay. Laura says that at night she is. Okay. So maybe there's some, if we can look, we can see if there's some correlation between her night behavior and her day behavior. See how that goes. All right. Any more questions before we wrap this up? I think this was a fun little update here. It's always more fun when there's less information. Okay. So, yes, my interview with Audrey should be up very, very soon on the Terran Show. We talked about the comments that, that Cody and Jason made about her. So very interesting to talk to her about that. She's just a very awesome and interesting person, to begin with. So I had a really fun time talking to her. I hope that, that comes across in the podcast. So keep an eye out for that. Of course, you can check out our update tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, and we will be live after the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother 19 with the guy that was first out, help me out here, Cameron. Yeah, we're going to be live with Cameron. I won't make too many more of those jokes. Sorry.
Get them out while you can.
Yeah. I feel like there's only so many times. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.